This is Press Play. I'm Madeline Brand. Online dating is a $2 billion a year industry. And part of that success has been thanks to the sheer number of websites out there. Besides the big name sites like Match.com or eHarmony, there are lots of niche places for people with specific interests, such as, get this, BronyPassions.com. That's a matchmaking site for fans of the cartoon My Little Pony. Steve Yoder broke down the numbers behind the big business of online dating for the Fiscal Times, and he's here now. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Madeline.
Okay, I learned about that site, BronyPassions.com, from your article and was pleasantly surprised that there was such a niche site as that.
There is there's a niche for everything and everybody out there. Some of my favorites, there's a site called The Atlasphere, which is for followers of Ayn Rand. There's a site called Burning Passions, which is not what you think. It's for people who can't stop thinking about the Burning Man Festival. And the analysts have looked at this industry, say that those niche sites are the fastest growing sector of this industry. Like you say, is itself growing tremendously, 3.5% over the last 5 years.
Wow, growing tremendously. So how many single people use these matchmaking sites?
Yeah, the numbers are impressive. Nielsen, the market research company, gave me the numbers for last December, and you had 26 million American adults on an online dating site in December. So that works out to just over 10% of the American adult population. You know, you have... The National Academy of Sciences did a study last year, published a study. The researchers interviewed 19,000 married couples, and of those married between 2005 and 2012, a third had met online. So, you know, this is only going to grow.
Yeah.
And people are spending a lot of time on these sites as well.
Oh, really? You mean daily?
Well, like, the site OkCupid, people were on that site an average of 3 hours a day in December. A site like plentyoffish.com, an hour and 40 minutes. I guess that kind of begs the question, or it brings up the question, what people are doing at work, which is another
Well, hopefully they're doing that on their free time. But anyway, so I guess the stigma of online dating has evaporated.
Yeah, that's part of the growth here. The Pew Research Center did two polls. It won in 2006 and then one last year. And, you know, the number of people who say that, you know, people who visit online dating sites are desperate has dropped by 8 percentage points in that period. But, you know, the population also, the single population has grown. We've gone from just over a quarter of the population single in 1970 to almost a half last year, census figures for 2013. So,
that just because people are delaying marriage?
That's part of it. There's an interesting thing going on with baby boomers. The divorce rate has doubled for baby boomers in the last 20 years, so that helps. That's one of the reasons they're kind of an interesting market for a lot of these companies. Match.com, for Match.com, that segment is their fastest growing group, people 50 to 64. So,
and I guess there are niche sites for them too.
Right. There's senior singles, single people meet, and senior people meet, agematch.com matches up people, older people with younger, younger with older. And actually the company that owns Match.com, Interactive Corporation, has kind of hoovered up a lot of these smaller sites. So they're trying to, corner the market a little bit. In some of these niche sites, they're not going to corner it completely, but that's a growth area for them.
Yeah, and then there are the mobile apps like Tinder and Grindr.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, that's a huge growth sector. I mean, more people on mobile, obviously. The number of folks who are going to be on mobile from now to 2018 is also going to increase.
So people are still looking for love, and how successful are they? Are these matchmaking sites more successful in finding your true love?
Yeah, that's an interesting question because the sites themselves make a lot of claims about their algorithms they use being successful to, produce true love. And the researchers who've looked at this, the National Academy researchers last year, and a group from the Association, I believe, for Psychological Sciences published a paper. They're not convinced that the response has kind of been meh, not really from the researchers. There's really been no evidence that long-term, these relationships last longer than others.
Okay, this is the perfect opportunity to bring in Chris McKinley. He teaches math at Cal State Northridge, and he met his fiancée on OkCupid, but only after taking extreme measures. And while he was earning his PhD at UCLA, Chris McKinley used his expertise to figure out exactly how the site matches people up. And then he basically gamed the system. Welcome to Press Play, Chris.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so let's explain first. You used OkCupid, and that's a site founded by mathematicians, so people like you. And the basis of it is an in-depth questionnaire. And in that questionnaire, you're also asked to rate how important the questions themselves are. So, for example, you can rate what's more important, sex or love. There are all sorts of questions that you can either answer or not. So you set up 12 profiles and answered the questions differently for each profile. What were you trying to figure out?
So I set up a bunch of profiles to just collect data. I wasn't pretending to be any of these profiles, but my objective was to collect a large sample of, match question answers from single women in Los Angeles. So I collected about 6 million answers to these questions from 20,000 users. You know, so when 20,000 people go and answer these questions, they tend to group themselves into clusters. And I found about 7 statistically significant groups of people that were all looking for the same sorts of things. I just figured out the questions that were important to each group and then looked at 2 groups that I thought probably contained the kind of people I'd like to meet in person and simply answered the questions that were important to them.
Such as,
you know, how many tattoos do you have?
So at the height of your experiment, how many dates were you going on?
So at the height of my experiment, I was getting, about 300 profile views a day, about 10 unsolicited messages a day, and I was going on about 1 date a day.
That's a lot of time.
I was in grad school, and it was over the summer, so I had some time. I should also say that these dates, I kept them very short, 20, 25-minute coffee dates.
Uh-huh. And so what did you learn from this?
It was an interesting experience going on dates with people who'd answered so many questions in a similar fashion. A lot of other kind of interesting similarities, came out in the mix. People would order the same kinds of coffee, sit in a chair the same way, ask the same questions in the same order with the same relative amount of time spent on each question, drive the same kind of car, lots of similarities. You might call them latent variables or something. But yeah, they're just other similarities that crept out. Yeah.
So eventually, I guess you met your fiance, right?
Yeah, that's right. After about 87 of these dates, I went on a date that was really great, qualitatively different feel from a lot of the other ones. At the time, she was in an open relationship with another man and another woman. And so I shut down this whole project to try and insert myself in a 3-way relationship. And ultimately, we became monogamous and got engaged.
What does your fiancé think about what you did with OkCupid?
She thought it was really interesting. My fiancé, Christine, saw my profile. It came up at the top of a search. She saw that I was not responding to many messages. And so, she added pictures to her profile, changed her profile before she wrote me in order to try and raise her visibility with me.
Okay, so do you have a date? Are you a date for your marriage?
Early 2015.
Chris McKinley teaches math at Cal State Northridge, and he successfully hacked OkCupid. And we also heard from Steve Yoder, who broke down the numbers behind the big business of online dating for the Fiscal Times. Thank you, both of you.
Thank you.
If you want to share your adventures in online dating with us, you can. You can leave us a voicemail at 1-844-PRESS-PLAY, or you can reach out on Twitter at KCRW Press Play or on Facebook, KCRW's Press Play. Coming up, secrets, scandal, money, power, and abuse, and the Vatican. In a new special airing tonight on Frontline, we talk with producer Anthony Thomas about the secrets that have rocked the church. First, let's get a news update with KCRW's Eric Roy.